Monday the 14th of April, Tess Nissen, Rabbi Yitzchok Shelfert, Two Types of Lashon Hara.
When the Rambam first introduces us to Hilchos Lashon Hara, or to the concept of Lashon Hara altogether, in Hilchos Deyos, the Rambam makes his first reference to it when he tells us, there are three dafka averus which are extracted from a person in this world, and then he goes on obviously to the three yaharik bal yavur, avodas chachamim, gilay arayos, mishlichas damim. And then he adds and he says, v'lashon hara kineged kulam. The lashon hara itself is tantamount to all those three most severe averus. And then the Rambam concludes and says, v'ayid amru chachamim, kolam asatver v'lashon hara, anyone who speaks lashon hara is ki'ilu kaper be'ikar. In other words, when you actually speak Lashon Hara, you're Kaper Be'ikar, you're denying the Eibishter, you're denying Torah Mitzvahs, etc., etc. That's where the Rambam first introduces us to the concept of Lashon Hara. Later, in Hilchos Tumas Saras, the Rambam goes into a little bit more detail in analyzing the actual Avera. There, the Rambam goes on to explain, first of all, Einim Minhagei Shel Olam, that it's not part of Minhagei Shel Olam was it Perek Tezayin, Halacha Yud. The Rambam goes on to explain over there that it's not a Minhaga Shel Olam, it's a, you might call a physio-spiritual kind of machla, kind of illness, etc. And he goes on to explain, using the analogy of Miriam as an example of what constitutes Lashon Hara, which would bring about Saras. And then he goes on afterwards and he starts talking about a process by which a person effectively becomes or contracts Saras. Because he goes on to explain that as far as the Dvarim are concerned, as far as the wording is concerned, first a person will start speaking Divrei Havai, which is Sam Dvarim Betalim. That'll then lead a person to speak about Latzonus, the Yeshivas Leitzim. Then a person will be speaking against the Tzadikim, and then the person will be speaking against Nevi'im, and then a person will be Medaber Vayalakim, will start speaking against the Eivishter himself. And then, as Rambam concludes and says, until the point of a Kaifer Be'ikr, he'll be Kaifer Be'ikr. So you have these two specific references and where the Rambam actually defines what constitutes Lashon Hara. Question is this, are they essentially one and the same? Is the Rambam really talking about the same thing in Hilchos Deyos as he's talking about in Hilchos Tumas Saras? At face value, you have to assume that that is certainly the case. It's making the same point, that bottom line, when you speak Lashon Hara, kilu kaper be'ikar, you're being kaper be'ikar, you're denying the Eivishter, you're denying Torah Mitzvahs. But on closer observation, what is quite clear is that there is a distinct difference between the two halachas. Because in the first instance, the Rambam makes an unequivocal statement. In Hilchos Deyos, granted he's talking about general ethical behavior, the Rambam makes a categorical statement, if a person speaks Lashon Hara, it is as if he is Kaifer Be'ikar, full stop. In other words, as soon as the Lashon Hara is spoken, he's over that serious Avera. It's tantamount to Kfira. But in Hilchos Tumas Saras, there the Rambam is not seemingly talking about a Lashon Hara that is a problem in itself, but rather it is something that represents the planting of a seed for future ill. First, he'll start speaking like this, then he'll start speaking like that, etc., etc., and then eventually that will lead to a person being medaber belekim, the kaifer be'ikar. So it's something, in other words, that we're speaking about an aspect of Lashon Hara that doesn't represent an immediate kfira, but rather it's an initiation of a slow downward path that will ultimately lead to one. Furthermore, when describing this Lashon Hara in Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, the Rambam teaches us that there is a subtle, seemingly innoxious activity which is like the root of all the evil of Lashon Hara. Namely, Divrei Havai. You start speaking Dvarim Betalim, speaking nonsense. And that begs the question, what could really be so bad about speaking Stam Dvarim Betalim? How could that, as per what the Rambam is suggesting, actually lead to total kfira? And the answer is, to appreciate what the Rambam is effectively saying in the two different sources, that really there are two distinct aspects to Lashon Hara. In the first instance, Lashon Hara in and of itself could be an abuse, as it is, of another human being. Plain and simple. Whether it's directly or indirectly, a person who is spoken of in a negative way is invariably hurt by the process. Obviously, the Mesaper, the one who's speaking Lashon Hara, is also hurt because he's allowing for his own latent feelings of sinna, of kinna, of jealousy and hatred, etc., to also surface. It's fostering his own darker side. So that's one aspect of Lashon Hara, the obvious aspect that we know of, where you're literally speaking bad about another person and you are invariably harming the other person. But there is another aspect to Lashon Hara, and that is where an act of Lashon Hara is actually an abuse of speech itself. What does that mean? The Torah tells us, Vayehi Adam L'Nefesh Chaya. The Eivishter blew a neshama into man, and he was L'Nefesh Chaya, became a living being. And Rashi notes over there, the Targum actually immediately translates, L'Nefesh Mamalala, a speaking being. Whereas Rashi himself over there also observes, Shinitayse Baideya V'dibor, that everything is a Nefesh Chaya, everything is a living being, but man is distinctly different, where Nitayse Baideya V'dibor, man has intellect, which is expressed through his Koyach HaDibor, his speech. That's where we differ fundamentally from all other Nefesh Chayas. In other words, the Eivishter gave us a gift, and any failure to speak generally, positively, and constructively represents an abuse of this Koyach HaDibor. Speech is a unique human quality, and a misuse of speech in whichever sort of way is therefore, if you like, the squandering of this precious gift, this faculty, this matana that the Eivishter gave us. That squandering of that faculty brings about a subtle regression in a person's character if he doesn't redress the balance, which can indeed ultimately lead to all kinds of disastrous results. Well, my nafkamina, what difference does it make if you talk about Lashon Hara being an abuse of another person, or Lashon Hara being an actual abuse of Koyach HaDibor, of speech itself? When you talk about an abuse of another person through speech, then obviously the speech itself has to have an unpleasant content. And moreover, as soon as the words are spoken, irreparable damage has actually been done. And therefore, in that sense, a severe avera has been committed. Because by virtue of the fact that you said something unpleasant about somebody else with its own immediate effect, that's a serious avera. That's the aspect of Lashon Hara that the Rambam is speaking about in Hilchos Deos. Because there, the Rambam says, "Kol mesaper Lashon Hara ki'ilu kleifer be'ikar." You speak Lashon Hara, you're kleifer be'ikar. It's an immediate effect. What you're saying has deleterious consequences. You're speaking bad about another person, and as soon as you say it, it's irreparable. You can't pull it back. That's what the Rambam is talking about in Hilchos Deos, something that is immediate and disastrous. In contrast, the second effect of Lashon Hara, which is, in other words, an abuse of the Koyach HaDibor, of general speech itself, that has two logical consequences. First of all, any speech, like we said, that isn't constructive or isn't positive, is an abuse of the Koyach HaDibor. Now for that, there doesn't have to be any actual detrimental words spoken. Just speaking as per the Rambam's Lashon, Divrei Havoi, simple nonsense, Litzonus, etc., etc., is in itself already an abuse of this Koyach HaDibor, of this general gift of speech. And second of all, since there isn't any negative or malicious content to the actual speech, then the effects are obviously more subtle, and they will be longer reaching. And that's why that's the aspect of Lashon Hara that the Rambam would clearly be talking about in Hilchos Tumas Saras. And that's why the Rambam says how it begins like this, and then that, and then that, and then that. In other words, it's a detailed process. It starts with Divrei Havoi and Letzonos. And then it goes on eventually to Mesaper B'Divrei Tzadikim, and Mesaper Keneged Nevi'im, and Mesaper Medaber Belekim, the Kaifer Be'ikar. It's a general, longer-term process, because the initial outset of the Lashon Hara that's being spoken wasn't with any kind of malicious content. It was, as per what the Rambam says, Stam Dvarim B'Telem, a general abuse of the actual Koyach HaDibor, of the gift of speech itself. And that's why Dafke and Hilchos Tumas Saras, the Rambam will bring the example of Miriam. What was the mice of Miriam and Abiyah? Like, the Rambam himself goes into detail. The Rambam says clearly that Miriam herself never intended to speak any sinna or kinna against Moshe. She didn't hate him, chas v'shalom. She wasn't jealous of him, chas v'shalom. She only made the mistake of comparing him to other Nevi'im, etc., etc. In other words, it wasn't some kind of speech that was intended to abuse another person. It was stam, if you like, maybe divrei havoi. It was general speech, unnecessary talk. But it was an abuse of Koyach HaDibor. And if it was an abuse of the Koyach HaDibor, that is essentially that brought about her actual saras. Because she mistakenly abused this gift, this Koyach HaDibor, by making unnecessary comments, consequently, she was afflicted with saras, the result of that second kind of Lashon Hara that we mentioned, this general abuse of Koyach HaDibor. In other words, what is seemingly clear from the Rambam is that there are two kinds of Lashon Hara. And the more severe kind of Lashon Hara, the one that we typically associate with the term Lashon Hara, i.e. speaking about another person, that kind of Lashon Hara didn't bring about Saras. That kind of Lashon Hara Dafka was so serious, that was Ke'ilu Kaifer Ve'ikr, immediately. It's Dafka the second kind of Lashon Hara that the Rambam is talking about in Hilchos Tumas Saras, Al Derech Miriam, the kind of Lashon Hara that is more subtle, it's not speaking about another person, it's just Lashon Hara, it's bad in the sense that it is a broader abuse of the Koyach HaDibor, that's the kind of Lashon Hara that actually brought about Saras. Now, maybe that sounds rather revolutionary, but actually, what's interesting is that if you look in the Al-Sheikh, the Mashmoyot are exactly like that. There's a well-known Al-Sheikh, which asks the question, why don't we find any cases of Tsaras today? The Rambam talks about it actually being from the Nifloyis Abayre, from a wondrous kind of, miraculous kind of disease, as it were, but the Rambam doesn't discuss why it doesn't exist already in his time, let alone today. And the Al-Sheikh goes on to explain, but dafka when the Bnei Yisrael were in an otherwise impeccable state, beruchnius, did they have the schus, the merit to have this nes, this miraculous sign of tzaras, this immediate forewarning by the Eibishter to immediately alert the person, hey, watch out, you're going down a slippery slope. And that, as per the Al-Sheikh points out, that's why the Torah uses dafka the term Adam rather than Ish, because Adam is the highest state of man, to indicate the idea that Saras only afflicts the person who is on that madrega of Odom, on the madrega of an Odom, as it were. In other words, the Al-Sheikh is actually making a categorical statement and saying that Saras, Dafka, afflicted a person who was in an otherwise very lofty spiritual state, Baruchnius. The Balatanya adds further explanation to this point in Lakut HaTorah, where he notes that also Saras is physically, that's what it was, a superficial affliction. It would appear on the skin one day and it would be gone a week or two later. Which indicates, he says also, that the person himself was also, again, beruchnius, spiritually speaking, in a healthy state internally. He's merely been over an avera in a superficial manner, hence he got this superficial blemish on his skin. So therefore, as per the Al-Sheikh and the Balatanya, those who are not in a good ruchniyistic state internally, by definition, unfortunately, all of us, bizmanazer, then we don't merit, if you like, or we don't merit the actual miraculous sign that something is wrong superficially, since there are so many other deeper issues that are affecting us that we have to resolve in the first instance. But that begs the question, how could the Al-Sheikh or the Balatanya suggest that Lashon Hara is something, or the Tzaras is only affecting somebody who was only superficially bad, but internally otherwise he was beruchnius in an impeccable state. If you say Lashon Hara, if ki'ilu kaifer be'ikar, your mom is denying the Eibishter, then how is it possible to say that the person is in otherwise impeccable state beruchnius such that it'll only affect him superficially? Elamai, if, as we explain now, as per the Rambam, that when we make this distinction between the two different aspects of Lashon Hara, then that question falls away. Of course, the Lashon Hara that is described in Hilchos Deos, that's a serious avera. Speaking bad about somebody else, that kind of Lashon Hara, where you're affecting that person, you're abusing that person, and the damage is irrevocable and irreparable, that kind of Lashon Hara taka wouldn't bring about Saras. That person has something seriously wrong with him internally that he's able to go and abuse another person like that to the point where, as the Rambam says, he's kaifer be'ikr. The kind of Lashon Hara that brought about Saras is the kind of Lashon Hara where it's dumb, divrei havai. Generally speaking, like Miriam, the person was in an impeccable state, beruchnius, elamai, they spoke divrei havai, they spoke shtusim, they spoke vermetalim, unnecessary speech, non-positive, non-constructive speech. That's what brought about Saras on her. That's the kind of Lashon Hara that would have brought about the kind of Saras as per what the Al-Sheikh is talking about. The kind of Saras that would have otherwise reflected the fact that the person is indeed beruchnius in a perfectly healthy state. Elamai, they committed one sort of unnecessary aveir over here which necessitated that this superficial blemish should actually come about. But otherwise, the person themselves had indeed achieved perfection in Avodas Hashem. What does that demonstrate to us? Well, in the first instance, obviously, it teaches us b'chol about the whole concern of Lashon Hara. That when we talk about Lashon Hara as being something that, you know, just speaking a little bit bad about somebody else, that kind of Lashon Hara is well off the scale. That's already something for which you wouldn't be zeicha to actually get saras. The only kind of Lashon Hara for which you would be Zeicher, where the Eibishter would do you the favor to alert you to the fact that you're going down the slippery slope, is Sam the Dvarim the Talim, which can obviously, as the Rambam explains, lead on to Latsonis, etc., etc., and the Dabra Belikin, the Beifer Be'ikr. Now the Gemara tells, we know the famous story about Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who was traveling along, and he saw a person. And he looks to the person greets him, etc. You know the story, that he says, Kama Mechor Oiseh Ish, how ugly is this person? And the person turns back to Rabbi Elazar and he says to him, Lech Lo Uman Shasani, you don't like the way I look, take it up with the manufacturer. You don't like the product, go back to source. And, of course, we know he asked, Mechila, etc., etc. You know, Yedias Hamachla Chatzi Rafua, when you define an ailment, you're already 50% of the cure. When it comes to Lashon Hara, it's interesting to look particularly at that story to understand what leads to Lashon Hara, what leads us to actually speak negatively about another person. I mean, it begs the question, is Rabbi Elazar someone who's so superficial to the point where he's going to just simply reflect on the exterior of another person and actually speak badly about the other person? It doesn't make sense. So in the Hanami, Rashi says over there that it was Eliyahu Novi. Rashi Tosis brings that there was Eliyahu Novi in disguise, dafka with the intent of teaching Rabbi Elazar an important lesson because Rogil Bekaf, he seems to have had a certain tendency to be this way. What does that mean? Again, I would assume none of us would typically look at someone and make that kind of comment. How is it that he does so? And Hanami, the Gemara says at the beginning, he was coming from Mashiach, he was inflated as a result of his learning, etc., but still, it begs clarity. So to suggest, perhaps, the underlying theme of that story, Rabbi Elazar, we all know that sense of elation, what you might call the holier-than-thou attitude, when having sat and learned to share, whatever it is that tends to make us sometimes feel a little bit full of ourselves. And as a result of that, we have that tendency where we may choose to be judgmental of another person. To the point where, when Rabbi Elazar was reflecting on that person, loved up here, was he reflecting on his exterior? He wasn't saying how ugly is this person, Shuta Degashmias, but maybe he was looking a little bit deeper beneath the surface, Beruchnias, looking and reflecting on this person's neshama and saying, by comparison, coming out of the shir that he was coming from and feeling as spiritually elated as he was, Kama Mechor Oisa Ish, how ugly is this person? Look how he's lacking, he's rake, he's empty for many mitzvahs, etc., etc. But the person retorts and he says, Rabbi Elazar, you don't like the way I look. You don't like the way I am standing, Beruchnias. Lech Lo Uman Shasani. Go back to the Eibishter. Because at the end of the day, my neshama and your neshama come from the exact same source. In fact, my neshama might indeed come from a higher source than your neshama. For whatever reasons, I've stumbled over here, but who are you to judge me and necessarily declare me in that sort of way? And Rabbi Elazar reflects, Takor, Eliyahu Hanavi was there to teach Rabbi Elazar a lesson. And he reflects on this and obviously asks him mechila afterwards. That's the underlying theme of what brings about to Lashon Hara, the idea of assuming that holier-than-thou attitude where you feel you are better and therefore able to judge the other person. Why is it compared to these three Avedas, Aveda Zara, Gila, Reis, and Shefas Damim? It's obvious. Aveda Zara, by its very definition, is that I am worshipping myself in that I think I am better, therefore I have the right to speak about you. Gilia Rayas Pashtetsa, if you're being unfaithful to the other person and to his feelings, then Shrikh of Dhamim goes without saying, you're literally destroying the other person. Rabbi Elazar teaches us, as for the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, the Yadua, the famous verse, Havidonis Kol Ha'odom Lekaskos. Don't say Havidonis Kol Odom Lekaskos, judge every person favorably, but Havidonis Kol Ha'odom Lekaskos. Look at the totality of the person. Look at the bigger picture. Look beneath. Lech La'oma Shasani. Look at the fact that they also have an Neshama. The idea of speaking Lashon Hara about another person means that you're putting yourself on the pedestal, judging that person on the assumption that you are better, when obviously you ultimately all come from the same Ummah. To tie this in with Pesach, we all know that the idea of Lashon Hara is often compared to a number of different things. The Gachle Esha Samim, like smoldering coals, it lingers on and on. Another famous comparison, the Midrashim, etc., is to compare it to Kichitzim, like arrows. You pull the arrow, you let it go, you can't pull it back. End of story. You speak bad about another person, there's no pulling back. And that's enough that it's even worse than arrows, because arrows only go to a certain point. You can stand on one end of the world and hit somebody millions, thousands of miles away. But there's an interesting Gemara in Bava Kamma, that's the base, where the Gemara tells us about the concept of arrows, or where we use this analogy even in the Zikin, where the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yechanan says, Isha Mishum Chatzai. In other words, you light a fire in your own Rishus, and it later causes damage in somebody else's Rishus, then you are chayav. Why? After all, you're an Einus. You never intended damage the other person's Rishus. So the way that the Mukhi Yosef explains, etc., in Rabbi Yochanan, Isha Mishum Chetzer, the moment I light the fire, That's when there is already this chalais chiyuv. I'm immediately held accountable because I have to know that the moment I light this fire, it's out of my control. It's like an arrow, isha mishum chetzei, that it's going to run wild and it's going to cause damage, however further down the line. That's the principle of legabe nezikin, as we know it also legabe lashon hara. The moment you speak, that's it. The damage has been done. Meruba mida teva mimida peronias. If you apply that principle in the negative, how much more so do you have to apply that principle also in the positive? Peteisi v'itzalti v'galti v'lakati, that the four lashonas of geula that Eibishter expressed, which were unique to Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. And then there's the heveisi. The heveisi, as the Mefarshim explained, wasn't just that the Eibishter is promising I will bring you into Eretz Yisrael, but the heveisi is already in reference to the geula hashlema, the coming of Mashiach. That already then, when the Eibishter said the heveisi by Yetzias Mitzrayim, he was already referencing the ultimate Behebesi into the Geula Shlema with Mashiach. In other words, as per the same principle, Isha Mishum Chetzei, the moment the Eibishter said Behebesi by Yetzias Mitzrayim, it wasn't just that he's promising them that he's going to take them out of Mitzrayim, but no, Chilosim B'Seifon, what happens there with that first Geula, so the first Geula, is inextricably linked with our last Geula and our ultimate Geula. So that the moment the Eibishter said the Hebesi then, it's like letting go of the arrow, so to speak, which unleashes the whole ongoing process that brings about the ultimate Geula. So in other words, even as we may, Chas V'Shalom, sometimes be in despair in our own Golos, the fact that the Eibishter said the Hebesi then reminds us that that already sets into motion the ultimate Geula. Now here's the problem. The Gemara in Tainus tells us, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and the Chachamim about when you actually are supposed to fast. Tisha B'Av or Asiri B'Av. Chacham say Tisha B'Av, that's when we fast, to commemorate the Churban. Rabbi Yechanan is the one who says Asiri B'Av. Why does Rabbi Yechanan say you fast on Asiri B'Av? Because he says, even though Ein HaChanami, the fire started on Tisha B'Av, the actual Churban itself, the main burning of the Beis HaMikdash, Chachman al-Islam, took place on Asiri B'Av. That's a stira in Rabbi Yechanan. There Rabbi Yechanan tells us, Isha Mishum Chetzei, you start taking into consideration from the moment you light the fire, not when it's going to later cause the damage. From now already, like Chetzei, like your arrow, the Chalais Chiyuv comes into effect. Yet over there, Rabbi Yechanan doesn't look at when the fire started, which effectively means it's going to bring about the ultimate Churban, but he focuses after when the burning of the actual Beis HaMikdash took place in its totality, that's when he says you should fast. But the answer is quite simple. You can't compare the two. Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basav Adam, you pull the arrow back, you let it go, that's it. You can't pull it back. But Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such that even though Ein HaChanami, he allowed for the fire to start on Tisha B'Av, nevertheless, the Eibishter could have always stepped in at any given point in time, not a Siri B'Av, to ensure that the fire stops and that the Churban itself doesn't take place. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, who says Taka in a practical sense, legabe abosir v'dam, isha mishum chetzei, nevertheless, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, legabe the Korban Beis HaMikdash, there, for as long as the Eibishter wants, he could pull it back, in which case, even though the Korban took place on, even though the fire started on the 9th, the Eibishter could have still stopped it. That's why he says, the time is the fast should actually take place on the 10th. That, however, presents the question back to what we said before. Because if it is the case that the Eibishter could always pull back, then why are we suggesting when the Eibishter said the Heveisi, already by Yetzias Mitzrayim, that put into motion already the Geula Shlema. Which you said, the Eibishter can pull back, the Eibishter can stop any process at any given point in time. So if you're going to suggest that Lagabe the Churban Beis HaMikdash, then you can suggest the same principle when the Eibishter said Behevesi Lagabe Mitzrayim as well. If the idea of comparison to an arrow doesn't apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hence Rabbi Yochanan says, you should fast for Asiri B'Av, then the idea of an arrow shouldn't apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to the Hevesi as well. It's not that when he said it then, it unleashed a process that was automatic and ongoing. But obviously the answer out to you, the Rambam again, Hilchos Yesodei Torah tells us, when it comes to Gzeres Rois, when it comes to negative decrees, says the Rambam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mescharet. The Eibishter always has charata, kaviyachol. Even though sometimes he does what he has to do, nevertheless he has charata. Yes, there's always the possibility and the given intervals where the Eibishter will definitely pull back from the Gzera Ra. But when it comes to Gzera is Taiva, he says to Ramam, Hahu Omar, the Eibishter is going to say something, Belo Yikimena Bitmiya. The Eibishter is going to say something, he's not going to fulfill that which he says. Of course, once he puts Gzera Taiva into effect, then that's it. It's off and running. Not Chas V'Shalom that the Eibishter himself can no longer control it. but it's beratzen. It's in the ratzen of the Eibishter. It's in the ratzen of the Kadosh Baruch Hu that he wants that whenever he initiates a gzeira taiva, he always will allow for that to therefore be off and running. Even though the Eibishter is always obviously a kol yachol in control of everything that goes on, nevertheless, it's birtzeinai that the inyan that he puts into motion when it comes to gzeira taiva should be off and running like legabe abasar v'dam, like an arrow, like something that you unleash. And therefore, in Ekonami, Isha Mishum Chetzai is a principle that applies to Nezikin because the boss of Adam has no control. Isha Mishum Chetzai is a principle that applies to Lashon Hara no less because once you speak it, it's Ke'ilu Kaifer Be'ikr. That's the most severe kind of Lashon Hara for which one isn't even Zechet to Tzeras. But when it comes to Meruba Mida Teva and Mida Peronios, when it comes to the Eibishter saying the Hebesi, when it comes to Exera Teva, they, the Eibishter and Barotzim of the Eibishter himself, is such that he doesn't want that should ever be revoked. In other words, the moment he says it, the inyan itself is irrevocable, it's off and running, and will certainly have to happen irrespective. And therefore, v'hiratzen taket, that as we're going to go into Chag HaPesach, into Zman Cheruseinu, that we should be zeicher taking on board the obvious lessons of the parshiyos, etc., and the obvious necessity to be that much more careful, not just in the Lashon Hara that we always associate, but obviously even in the Divrei Havai, and ensuring to learn the obvious lessons as per the Maaseh of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Donis, Kol Adam Lekav Tzos, to necessitate that there should always be that necessary Achdus that is always so required. It was Dafka as a result of Geulat Mitzrayim, that the Yichan Sham Yisrael, Isha Achad V'Lev Achad, the Dafka then Taka, we will be Zeichet, that the Behevesi, that David Shah said already then, is already ongoing, it is already in motion, we shouldn't despair. The Golos that is in front of us is really nothing more than an Olam Sheker, but the process began already then, and will certainly, through the Achdus and all that is required, bring about the Geulah Mitzvah Bashlema, when Lashana Habab Yerushalayim, famous question, why Lashana Habab Yerushalayim next year, why not now? And the answer, one beautiful, simple observation by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Chusayogan Aleinu, says, look in Torah. It says, Barachol Ba'a Imatzayin. Any Balkaira will tell you. It says, Barachol Ba'a Imatzayin, and it says, Barachol Ba'a Imatzayin. In three or four different sukkim apart. One means Rachel is coming. Depends where the truff is. One is Rachel is coming, and in the future tense, and one is the present tense. Rachel ba'a imatzayim. So again, you can read Lashana haba'a b'Yerushalayim, but that's going forward. Or you read Lashana haba'a b'Yerushalayim in the very real present tense, which is related to this. M'hei Rav Yemeinu. Amen.